This past week, I've been thinking about a word that is found so many times in the Bible, and it has a profound influence on us, and it's a reality, even though it's hard to define. And that's the word time, T-I-M-E. It's a word we often use, and it's also a word that's very difficult to define, to describe it. And when you're defining a word, you're not supposed to use a word that means the same thing as the word you're defining. And that becomes very difficult with the word time. One question you might ask about the word time, is it a verb or is it a noun? And it can sometimes be a verb. For example, you can time someone. You might time your children when they say their vocabulary words to see how long it takes, and that's using time as a verb. Most of the time, however, the word is a noun. And you know, the definition of a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. And most of us would probably say that a noun, that the word time is an idea, although some people would disagree with that. You know, some people say that since we can't see, feel, touch, or hear God, therefore he doesn't exist. But you can't see, feel, touch, or hear time either. And yet it does exist. Well, we can hear God. Certainly we can hear God with our spiritual ears and through the Word of God. It was interesting just to look at some dictionary definitions of time. And there were many different ones of them I found, and they all have little interesting dimensions of that. One definition, and this is a complicated one, time is a dimension that enables two identical events occurring at the same point in space to be distinguished or measured by the space between them. And that's kind of putting time down into the area of space or distance. Another definition, a limited period. And there's the word period also means time, by the way. A limited period during which something exists or takes place. A moment or period in which something takes place. And that's kind of a silly definition for it, really. Another definition is a dimension that orders events past, present, and future. Past, present, and future are words that describe time as well. The most interesting definition I found for time, and you might want to think this one over a little bit, time is what keeps everything from happening at once. If there was no such thing as time, then everything would happen at once, right? Well, you know that couldn't happen. All right. Well, a really simple definition for time, and the one that most of us are satisfied with, is time is what clocks measure. And that's a simple definition, and that's good enough for most of us. It really is. Philosophers disagree on time. Some feel that time is an actual event or a thing, and that we can travel through time. And some scientists would say that, and others would say no. It's really not an event or a thing, and you can't travel through it. Some of the scientists claim that if you could travel at the speed of light away from the earth and then return at the speed of light, their theory is that at the speed of light, nothing ages. And this is all their surmisings. So nothing ages. You could travel away from the earth for 40 years and then come back to the earth, and the earth would have aged 80 years and you would not have aged at all. Now, that is pure speculation. And so people struggle with this thing. Well, bringing it down to us, you've probably heard older people say that time passes faster for them than it ever did. And I often wondered about that and why that was, or why that is that older people feel that way. But it's in part because older people have experienced so much time. And when you think about it, though, in light of eternity, it really isn't very long. For example, I have to admit that I'm 67 years old, and I have experienced a fair amount of time, I think. But I have 1 year for me is only 1/67th of my whole life. 1 year is only 1/67th part of my whole life. So a whole year does not seem like a big chunk for my life. But if you're 10 years old, how many people are 10 years old? Anybody 10 years old? If you are 10 years old, 1 year is 1/10th of your life. It's a pretty big part of your life, 1 year is. Well, another way to look at it is, I can remember one event that happened to me when I was 3 years old. And that is that every day during the week, I would go out the path from our house. I'd go past the spring. I'd go out to a place where there was a kind of a rocky ledge down from the path. And I would sit there and wait for my sister to get home from school. And I remember one day going out there, and I was playing near the edge of this rock at the path. And the rock went down a ways, and I slipped somehow. And I started to slide down this rock. And I held on to the top of it with my hands. Remember, I was 3 years old, and I started screaming for Mama, but she couldn't hear me, and I started screaming for help, and pretty soon my sister came along on the way home from school, and she pulled me up and rescued me. And that's the only thing I can remember from when I was 3 years old. I went back later, years later, and looked at that place, and that rock wasn't steep. If I had slid down, it probably would not have hurt me. But I thought that my life had ended. My little three-year-old mind felt that way. But you know, in an instant of time, I can go back 64 years and remember that event. And it's as if it happened yesterday. And that's why I say that time is passing fast. It really is. But I guess for a younger person, it's not that way. Well, we can talk about that a long time. Actually, it's far more important what the Bible says about time than what any scientists say about it or even what you and I say about it. It's interesting that the word time is found about 600 times in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it was used in our Sunday school lesson this morning. If you take the plural of the word, times, adding an S, then the word appears 750 times, approximately, in the Bible. Well, what does the Bible say about time? There's one place in the Bible where in eight verses, in a section of eight verses, the word time is used 29 times. Does anybody know where that is? You know what book it's in. The word time is used 29 times in only eight verses. In Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You might want to turn to that. I'm not going to make many comments about this. These things that are listed in Ecclesiastes 3 or 1 to 8 are things that happen under the sun. But there's more to life than what's under the sun. And what God does with time is more important. And it's not saying that we should do every one of these things that's mentioned here, but this is what man lives through, and this is how people feel about time. And then I think that verse 9, the verse that follows that, is a good one to describe, you know, if we base our life just on these things, you know, what is there to gain? To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And notice the next verse says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? You know, if that's all there is to life, all of these things, we are of all men and women most miserable. Well, the psalmist David in Psalm 89:47 wrote this about time. He says, "Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?" That was during a time that was very discouraging to him. And he said, "My time is short. Is it all in vain? Is it all empty? Is it all purposeless, this time that is so short for me? And you know, my time on earth here will end." Well, in Psalm 31:14-16, at a time when David had more courage, at a time when he looked to God, he viewed time just a little bit differently. In Psalm 31:14, he said, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." And he recognized that his times were in God's hands. And do I recognize that my times are in God's hands and need to be in God's hands? And I don't take it to myself, but I let God control my time. It's clear that God has given us time, and how we use it is of utmost importance. Now let's turn to Ephesians 5, another passage that speaks in a little bit different way, an interesting way about time and what God expects us to do with time. And then there's a similar passage in Colossians, not too far away from that, that we want to look at. Ephesians 5. And notice all these things that it says we should do with our time in this passage. And verse 16 speaks of redeeming the time. And I understand that that is the idea of buying up time. Time moves on. It doesn't get slower or faster, even though we might feel that way. It goes on at a regular pace. And yet, there's a way you can somehow buy it up or use it wisely, we might say. "See then that ye walk circumspectly." That means looking all around you. "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming or buying up the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." A lot of people waste time. They really waste time. They do all kinds of things that take them away from God. And that's not buying up time. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." They are things that we are to do with our time. Now, Colossians 4, 5 and 6 has that expression, redeeming the time, in it again. Just a little bit further on in your Bible from Ephesians. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." There it is again, buying up the time. "Lest your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." And so what am I doing with the time that God has given me? Am I using it for Him? Am I using my time for doing what's right? Am I using my time for serving others in the name of Jesus Christ? The psalmist said, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." And so we find God in the circles of time. And yet we know with God, time is not the same as it is for us. The psalmist also said, "So teach us to number our days," or count our days, "that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And that has to do with time. And remembering we only have a limited number of days here. And even if I would live to be 100 years old, I'm already far past half of my days, far past it. And what have I done with those days? So teach us to number our days. In Ecclesiastes again, after a lot of dismal things in the book of Ecclesiastes, the writer said, "Remember now." Now is a time word. That now is the, whatever you call it, the point in time that is right at this instant, and you're sitting here and I'm up here. That's now. And it says, now is the time to get right with God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now is the time to get right with God. Right now is the only time we are assured of, absolutely assured of, is right now. Because any one of us may die of a heart attack instantly. And so the only absolute promise we have is right now. We're not promised tomorrow and next year and 10 years from now necessarily. And so what does that mean we're going to do with our time? In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it speaks of salvation in relationship to time. And it says, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. The Lord said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If I'm not right with God, if you're not right with God, now is the only time we have to get right with God. Well, the Bible also teaches that time is going to come to an end. And I don't know what that means fully. I guess our concept of time will come to an end. I guess our concept somehow of time will come to an end. In Revelation 10, 5 and 6. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And I just don't understand that. Time no longer. Maybe time will become eternity. I don't know. There is eternity. And we are so used to thinking in terms of time, and so used to reading in the Bible about time, that it's hard for us to fathom the idea that time won't be the same. It won't be the same thing in the future. What am I using the brief time that God has given me for? Am I wasting it? Am I doing wrong things with it? Am I doing things that with my time that will lead me to hell when this life ends and when eternity begins? What am I looking at? What am I reading? What am I thinking about? Sometimes we talk about killing time. One time we went to wait for somebody at the airport, and the plane was a couple hours late. And we kind of joked about killing time. But I don't really think you can kill time. Time goes on. It doesn't get killed. But what you do with time is what's important. That we could use that time to talk about profitable things, that we could use that time to witness for Jesus, that we could use that time encouraging each other and encouraging other people, then it really isn't killing time, is it? We need to meditate on the things that need to be done for the glory of God in the short amount of time that He has given us on this earth. Let's kneel together in prayer.